a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Senate Commerce and Energy, by far the most exciting committee in the state capitol, or at least it was last year. Everybody hear me all right? I'm sorry. I will welcome everybody that's listening on the internet, and please remind everybody to silence their cell phones, pagers, and anything else that makes inappropriate noise. I'd like to welcome, first of all, Amanda Reese. She's our new staffer from LRC. We appreciate you being here, and I know you do a great job for us. I've heard wonderful things about you. Also, welcome back Lois Henry as our secretary. History tells us that she does a great job for us, and we appreciate her efforts as well. New faces in the crowd. We have our intern, Hannah McElroy from Sioux City, Iowa. She's a student at USD. And our page of the day is Tucker Troyer. Tucker, where are you from?
Selbia,
thank you very much for being here. Appreciate your service. And it's always the case, especially today since USD is playing SDSU, that the page of the day stand up and sing the fight song from South Dakota State. Would you do that now? Beg your pardon? I apologize. Thank you. Would you like to introduce your intern?
Jameson Getz.
So it's going to be a duet.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. SDSU, and where are you from, Jameson?
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, thank you for being here. My apologies, Senator Buell, I appreciate that. Senator Kadis, are you in the room? You are. He's with the Nonprofit Association of South Dakota, and he's got some board members here. I'd like to have you introduce them to the group.
This is John Grayson, who our vice chair knows well from Vermillion, and also a part-time city councilor, but he's full-time executive director of the South Dakota Nonprofit Association. And in room 464 this afternoon, we're having our first convening meeting of the new State Service Commission. We're 53rd this time, but the last shall be best. Governor Newgard has appointed a new commission that will enable us to bring many more AmeriCorps, VISTA, retired volunteers, all the federally funded volunteer programs, which we haven't had adequate access to because we haven't had a commission before. That's being launched this afternoon at 464. All of you are welcome after session to stop in, say hello, and we think it's a great day for nonprofiteering and for volunteerism.
Thank you, Senator Kadis. Senator Nygaard?
Yeah, I just want to make one comment that it's very appropriate that Senator Kadis makes those kinds of announcements, because when he was a young man, he was a member of our Peace Corps in America, and I applaud him for that.
Thank you, Senator Nygaard. At this time, I'd ask Secretary to please call the roll.
Senator Frisley? Senator Hunstead?
I think you're on the wrong page.
Oh, my goodness. I do have the wrong one. But I put the wrong headline. Okay. There we go.
I'll retract my comments about...
Sorry about that. Johnston.
Here.
Brave.
Here.
Buell.
Here.
Nygaard.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
And Adelstein. We do have a quorum. Nelson.
Here. Thank you. We were blessed and on the first day of session to have 11 bills put in our committee already, and so I appreciate the short notice on some of these for testimony, but I've had a good look at them and been briefed on many of them, and they all look like consent items to me. So with that, I will call for testimony, proponent testimony for Senate Bill 7. Repeal certain provisions allowing for the certification of technology parks and to allow public or private developers to apply for certification. Mr. Byram.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Cody Byram with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning about Senate Bill 7. If it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just give a brief background on the Certified Sites program and sort of bring everyone up to speed on how we got to where we're at today and put the bill into context.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. The South Dakota Certified Ready Sites program is an economic development tool that we've made available to all communities in the state. The purpose of the program is to both promote development-ready commercial and industrial sites, and also provide a roadmap for communities wishing to establish sites that are development ready. Communities that have sites that are certified ready can help them take advantage of economic development opportunities. Time is a factor in site selection, and by certifying sites, it helps shorten the amount of time that business prospects need to spend researching potential sites to locate. Also, certification helps reduce the risk for expanding companies. The program consists of four different certifications: heavy industrial, light industrial, business service, research and development, and rural. Each of the four sites has two tiers, with the top tier requiring the most information to become certified. Certification is done by a review committee with representatives from the Governor's Office of Economic Development, the Public Utilities Commission, Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and the Department of Transportation. The Certified Sites Program is actually operating 20 other states as currently now, so South Dakota wanted to get into the game as far as making that opportunity available. This effort actually began back in 2009 with the appointment of a task force to set up a Certified Ready Sites Program. The task force consisted of 15 members representing small and large town economic development corporations, planning districts, and statewide organizations. During the 2010 session, a bill was passed that provides the legislative authority, and last fall we passed administrative rules to complete the program. Our first round of applications are being accepted on May 1st. So that's a little bit of background on the program itself. What you have before you in Senate Bill 7 is basically some housekeeping items to help further define and clarify the program. Initially, in the authorizing legislation, only political subdivisions were allowed to be applicants. The intent of the program is to provide this tool to economic development entities as well as political subdivisions. So therefore, we want economic development corporations across the state to be able to be eligible applicants. So you can see in the first page that we added them as eligible applicants to the program. The other change is to remove the language that refers to to research parks. This legislation was included with the bill originally passed back in 2010, and that program is really has two separate purposes. The Certified Sites Program and the Research Park Program are kind of have two different meanings, and we like to separate the two. The original sponsor of this bill we've talked with, and he is fine with separating the two, and it's our understanding that he will be coming back with a bill this session dealing specifically with research parks. So we're just trying to clarify and make the two programs separate from each other, because they really have two separate purposes. Quickly, Mr. Chairman, I'll walk through the sections of the bill. Section 1 just clarifies that a public or private developer, which would include all of our economic development corporations, are eligible to apply to the program. And then also there's some clarification taking out some of the language that referred to the research park terms and conditions. So that's what we're doing in Section 1. Section 2 further clarifies or defines what a certified site means. And in Section 3, as I mentioned before, that's where we're removing the language that refers specifically to the technology parks. And then in Section 4, we're further clarifying we're doing two things in Section 4. We're clarifying the intent of the sites program and also taking out some additional language that referred to research parks. So that's the overview of the bill. And there may be some other testifiers here, so I will end my testimony and stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Byram. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 2. Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 2. Ms. Johnson.
Good Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I lobby for all kinds of pro-growth initiatives in Northeast South Dakota. For today's purposes, I will rise to speak on behalf of Absolutely Aberdeen, our growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota. I was privileged to be a member of the task force appointed by Governor Rounds that began the process that brought us to the Certified Ready Sites process. And I was also involved in the legislative hallways with the original piece of legislation that brings us here today. That was brought because a technology park wanted a certified program, and then at the last minute, the department came in with an amendment to add authority to register certified ready sites. Unfortunately, the amendment wasn't artfully drafted at the time, but took advantage of a legislative opportunity, and that was great for economic development in South Dakota. So, as a member of the task force, we are pleased that the department was willing to bring this bill to clarify also that nonprofit and for-profit local development corporations could be eligible applicants. They, in many cases, are holding the land that may be eligible for a certified ready site. It isn't always local governments, although you get both. So there's pure opportunity here, costs the state nothing, sets us apart, makes us more recognizable and identifiable to site selectors and others choosing to expand and grow their businesses in South Dakota. I'll stand by for any questions. I was pleased to participate in the process. It was a well-balanced process. We tried to be sure it included all opportunities for small and large places throughout South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 7. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. What has been accomplished here is two things. One, a way to communicate expectations and standards and tell communities this is what it takes to have a certain kind of, to hold your site up as being ready at whatever level. It doesn't require one set of standards. And the other thing, it's going to help us communicate to others. Let me leave on this note. In the chamber world, we always live on the phrase quality of life. There isn't a chamber exec or board member that doesn't wake up and wouldn't tell everybody they see, you know, in our community, we have the best quality of life around. Well, for 2.5 years, I ran a chamber of commerce in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I was lying every day. I don't go back to Kansas often. What this will do is keep something as important as industrial sites. What are your potential? What can you deliver? What is appropriate for this location? So we can tell the communities this is what you must do and have for certain certifications. And when we talk to prospects, we can, in a soundbite world, say we're ready for you in these places. It's a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 7. Any other proponent testimony for Senate Bill 7? Hearing none, is there any opponent testimony to Senate Bill 7? Opponent testimony for Senate Bill 7. Hearing none, I will close the meeting to public testimony on 7 and open up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I recall Cody Byram?
Mr. Byram.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cody, you referred to a potential additional bill that would be like a partner bill to this one. Is that a bill then to that might be coming forward, there is coming forward? Is that a bill to kind of redo this certified technology park, which you refer to as a research park?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Nygaard, thank you for the question. We are anticipating another bill dealing with research parks. We have not seen the bill yet, so we don't know what is in that. And if I understand your question correctly, yes, it would be separate from the sections that we have laid out in here.
Just follow up.
Senator Nygaard.
And the reason I ask that, Cody, is because, you know, you strike all of Section 3, which is a kind of a different process. It even goes into financial commitments, covenants and restrictions, and very detailed things. So is this bill that we have before us today an effort to streamline and make government more efficient in terms of supporting these relatively new entities, such as instead of just chambers, now we have these economic development organizations in most cities or municipalities that are trying to move forward with renewing their community, growing their communities, and they're not really subdivisions of government. So is that really why we're deleting this and creating two bills instead of one?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Senator. This taking these conditions in Section 3 out of the certified ready site requirements streamlines that process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byram. Further questions from the committee? No questions. On to discussion and or action. And I apologize. Forgot to give a reminder to everybody that wishes to testify to please sign in at the podium so we have the proper record. Again, back to any questions, comments, discussion.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Motion by Buell, second by Rave for do pass on Senate Bill 7. Is there discussion on the motion?
Just that this came through the Rules Committee this summer, and so that's how I initially became familiar with the Certified Sites Program. And we wanted there to be as many potential organizations that have these potential sites out there to participate, so we were hoping to see something like this come forward.
Thank you, Senator Buell. Further, any other discussion? Hearing none, then, the motion on the to the committee is do pass on Senate Bill 7. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Adelstein.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Yes.
Aye. Unanimous.
Have unanimous approval of the committee elect on Senate Bill 7. Further action?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
Move consent.
Moved by Nygaard, second by Johnston. Can move this to the consent calendar. Discussion on the motion?
No, I it sounds like the Rules Committee has had an in-depth look at this, and the GOED has brought forth great points that everyone's had a chance to look at. And so I would just, in the interest of efficiency, I'd like to move forward.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of moving this to the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Thank you. Senate Bill 7 is passed and will be put on. Senate Bill 11, an act to authorize the Governor's Office of Economic Development to create and administer a working capital loan and grant program. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 11. Mr. Costello, I understand there is an amendment.
Yes.
Would you like to get distributed at this time?
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman.
Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to address both the bill and the amendment one time. If that's
please
okay.
Do.
Senate Bill 11 essentially establishes the authorization for the Governor's Office of Economic Development to administer and run South Dakota Works Program, which is a working capital loan program. Last summer, we were
I apologize. For the purpose of those listening, would you please introduce yourself?
I apologize. Pat Costello with the Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development.
Thank you.
Last summer, we were made aware of an opportunity to apply to the U.S. Department of Treasury under the state Small Business Credit Initiative and Small Jobs Act. And we were awarded, through a lot of hard work from Kim Eselin, Mark Bain, and our office, $13 million to establish this working loan program. It's an area where we have not had an opportunity to, in our incentive package, along with the, all of our different programs that we have not been able to work with businesses to help them in that area. So it's been a need for some time, and this presented us a good opportunity to fill that hole and work with companies. So we already have two companies that have applied and been granted under the program, and we have a lot more in the pipeline, so we're very excited. You know, the national economy being what it is and the lending environment has made it difficult sometimes for companies to obtain working capital loans for startup costs, for inventory purchases, those types of things. So it's been very helpful, and we're looking forward to it. We've got 5 years to get the $13 million out into the South Dakota economy. We need to meet certain leverage ratios for every dollar that this program has. We have to leverage with $10 of private investment, so it helps banks as well, and as long as as well as the businesses. So, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to address them at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner. We'll ask you to stand down for a bit and see if there's other testimony, and then we'll go to questions. Thank you. Is there additional testimony for Senate Bill 11? Further testimony for 11. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Miller, and I'm the registered lobbyist for BankWest. More importantly, or equally as important maybe, I'm also a member of the committee of South Dakota Works. It's a seven-person committee. We're just barely getting started. We're getting organized. But I can assure you we're going to pump $13 million into the economy of South Dakota on this committee. And the beauty of it is it's also a revolving fund, so we get a chance to do it again. And we're quite excited about it. The revolving fund can be used for things like working capital, which is really hard to come by in this state or in any state in the banking world. And we're quite pleased about it. And the beauty of it is it can only be done in cooperation with some local lender of some type. So we didn't create some state bank here. We have created a partnership with the business community out there. And the money can be used for startup costs, working capital, inventory needs. So we would ask your support. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, and glad to have you with us.
Thanks.
Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commerce Committee. My name is Kurt Everson. I'm the president of the South Dakota Bankers Association, and I appear before you this morning. I'm actually pinch-hitting for Steve Hayes, who is the chairman-elect of the association and who had planned to testify today, but had a family emergency, and so he had to tend to that. And so Steve is a community banker from Fort Pierre. He's also a member of the advisory committee for this program. So instead of getting a real-life community banker this morning, you get me, so bear with me. I first became aware of this program last summer when GOED called and notified me that they had made application for these funds pursuant to the Jobs Act of 2010 that Congress passed. And what I can tell you today is that the bankers are supportive of GOED in their efforts in this regard for several reasons. First of all, lending for business startups, especially during these times of heightened economic uncertainty, sometimes entails a degree of risk that any one particular lender can't prudently take on. And so a partnership between a bank and the state and a program like this makes sense. Even though economic conditions certainly in South Dakota are improving, bank regulators, particularly at the federal level, are holding banks to extraordinarily high standards and particularly in small business lending. And so again, having this program as a source of additional capital is a positive thing, especially working capital. I would remind committee members that generally, because banks lend money that is provided by their depositors, both the bank and their deposit customers think it's pretty important that the money get paid back. And so they take banks typically take security interest in some form of collateral before they're going to advance funds. That's easier to do with equipment and buildings than it is working capital. And so this program provides, I think, a nice fit into the overall financing plan for a startup or an expansion of an existing business. So for all those reasons, the SDBA and the member bankers would encourage you to support Senate Bill 11. I'd stand by for questions when appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. Further proponents, Senate Bill 11, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson with Absolutely Aberdeen, and I also represent the Aberdeen Development Corporation. In the legislative off-season, we get the distinct pleasure of working with all of the growth companies in our region, and want to take this opportunity to applaud the Governor's Office of Economic Development for capturing this opportunity for South Dakota. Prime time to do it. It's in good hands with the Director of Finance, I think that's her title, Kim Eastland's shop. They'll do a great job with this, and I want to say thank you to them for doing this. This is an important part of our economic development tools for South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 11. Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 11. Is there opponent testimony for Senate Bill 11? Opponent testimony. At this time, Commissioner Costello, would you briefly explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, the amendment essentially on line 11 deletes the words and expand and inserts expand or loan. There was a question of whether or not a loan was an expenditure, and so to clarify things, we're just clarifying that this program allows loans.
Okay, thank you. Further testimony? If not, I'll open up for committee questions. Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you leave, Pat, does it, with the amendment, if that were added, would it also expend, comma, or loan? Could you, in fact, give a grant with that then? I see Jim's head shaking over here.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's the intent.
Right. I just wanted to clear that. Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Costello, have you already been distributing funds through this?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Senator, we have. We have two companies who we've distributed funds to.
And how did that work heretofore that would cause us to see this bill now?
Mr. Chairman, the governor is authorized to accept and expend federal funds. This bill essentially further clarifies that and establishes the fund within our Treasury to allow for that money to flow in and out of.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Do we need an emergency clause on this bill?
Mr. Chair. Senator, I'm not certain on that. I'd be happy to.
Your cohort behind you is nodding his head no. All right. Thank you.
Senator Nygaard.
Thank you.
Mr. Costello, would it be accurate to suggest that this bill is really looking forward to the future when, after this money is put out under the terms of the grant and it comes back to you, this is really the groundwork that will prepare South Dakota to carry this on into the future and make it another tool for this administration and future administrations to create economic development?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Senator, that's exactly what our intent is. You know, this money will get repaid and lent out over and over in time. It's very similar to the Ready Loan program that we run. Again, we see a very strong need in the community and business to have access to working capital. It's been a challenge in the past, and so that's our intent.
Follow-up?
Senator?
And I just want to make this clear to the public and to everyone here that I'm voting in for this for the reason that this appears to create a new fund It's not to be put into the Ready Fund. Ready Fund does its job the way it's supposed to, but we are creating an additional tool here. Is that correct, Mr. Costello?
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly right, Senator. You know, the Ready Fund is more fixed asset financing, longer term. This is shorter term, working capital, inventory, startup costs.
Thank you very much.
Additional questions? Senator Adelson.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Explain to me a little bit who will have oversight over this fund, which is not public and the information is not available to anyone.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, there's a committee that's been set up. The names are Steve Hayes, Bob Miller, Carla Addy, Randy Snyders, Tony Klein, and Mike Youngberg. That committee will review the applications and approve those as they come in or disapprove as it may be.
Mr. Chairman, if I may follow up, why doesn't the bill provide, having been a member of the Ready Fund Board, why doesn't the bill provide for the oversight of the selection of such a committee? And why is the committee not even detailed in here?
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I call my A-team here for further explanation?
Tim, you can't go. You can't look any further.
Tim Engel, registered lobbyist and counsel for Governor's Office of Economic Development. Senator, the reason the bill is drafted the way it is to give GOED the authority to administer the funds and do so in a way that it has maximum flexibility to do that. There was some discussion about having a Ready Fund administer this, and it was concluded that was not appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, why was it considered inappropriate?
I didn't make that policy decision. It was mostly, Senator, to give the flexibility to GOED to administer this program more quickly than it could be done through the Ready Fund. Through the Ready Board, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, why is it necessary that for working capital, that the meetings and deliberations coming, the credit addition loans are confidential and are exempt from public disclosure?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's no different than the Ready Board. It's done that way to protect the confidentiality of the business information of the borrowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Nygaard?
For Jim. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, is it correct in assuming then that the brevity of this statute and the need for it is to move forward in a more rapid manner and in a different manner than Ready Fund, which, of course, requires a certain number of employees before you're eligible? This is really to jumpstart new business or expansion of business, things that can that need to happen quickly, and it's streamlined so that GOED can move rather rapidly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's exactly right.
Thank you.
That's true.
Additional questions of the committee?
One more question.
Senator.
We heard earlier about this from Mr. Miller, for whom I have the greatest respect, about bank participant. What is the requirement of support by banks, what percentage of the amount of money can be loaned can be done by the state? And I don't see that in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm going to defer to the head of the A-team for that question. If I
understood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Commissioner Costello?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, under the plan that we submitted to Treasury, Department of Treasury, we had certain requirements that we had to meet, and in that plan, it requires us to meet a 10-to-1 leverage ratio, whereas the Ready had maybe a certain number of job creations that came with a dollar amount. This plan is more on participation of leveraging the dollars that we receive, and again, it's 10-to-1. So for every dollar that we lend out, we have to have $10 in other private funding, and that private funding can come in the form of equity from the company itself or lending from a bank or, you know, other sources.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, would that be in kind as well? Would it have to be cash?
I think it's cash infusion into the company.
Chairman.
Senator.
You think or you know, and it's in the regulations.
Let me defer again. Mr. Chairman, Senator, it has to be cash.
One last question on in the same line. Once the funds have been loaned from the grant from the feds and the money comes back in, does the requirement of the 10-to-1 still prevail, or is now the fund an independent fund of the state?
Mr. Chairman, the our requirement on the 10-to-1 leverage ratio is in the cumulative effect of over the entire $13 million. So we may have one company that is a 2-to-1 ratio and another company that we're lending out at a 20-to-1 ratio. By the end of the term of the 5 years, when we have to have met that 10-to-1 ratio.
All right, then, if I may, okay, so the money, though, does the $13 million stay with the state, or does it go back to the Fed?
Mr. Chairman, yes. And then at the end of that 5 years, if we have met those requirements, the money stays with the state.
Mr. Chairman, then after that 5 years, will the 10-to-1 ratio still prevail?
Mr. Chairman, no, Senator, it will not. That will be up for our plan to determine in the future how we want to administer that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Nygaard?
Yeah, just one more follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So to make this clear, the $13 million that you've successfully roped, the Western term here, will generate $130 million worth of economic activity in the in these next few years. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's correct in the first 5 years, and then, you know, untold amounts that will generate over and over again as years go by.
Yeah. Thank you.
Senator Buell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, can you give me a rough idea of how many applicants you expect to get for the program and kind of a scale of participation we're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, do you know how many applicants we have right now in the pipeline?
Right now we have.
So we've got, Mr. Chairman, Senator, we've got two that we've already awarded, and we've got 10 in application right now.
Follow-up? And do you have an idea of what that is going to grow to or what the goals are for the program in terms of the overall applicants you're looking to have in the pool?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we expect it to be a heavily used or sought-after program. So it's hard to quantify the, you know, what may happen 6 months or a year and a half from now. Largely will depend on the economy of the national economy and local economy, state economy. But we're, you know, we've had this hole for a long time in our incentive packages we've been able to offer, and this fills that hole very well. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, though.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, this has raised another question.
Senator Allison.
What is the ratio of the two that you've loaned between the money? Are they loans or grants, A? And B, what's the ratio of participation by the state in the amount of the working capital of those two?
They both are 10-to-1. Mr. Chairman, Senator, they both are loans, and that is our intent, is to do loans. We're keeping the flexibility with the grant portion, and they have met the 10-to-1. Both are 10-to-1.
Thank you.
Senator Nygaard?
Just one more clarification, probably more for the listening audience. But it's my understanding that this fund will be used as a loan on that 10-to-1 basis, and that your interest rate currently is probably in that 4-5% range. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's correct.
Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Thank you, Commissioner. Further questions of the committee for any of the testifiers? Hearing none, close to testimony and open up for committee discussion. And we have an amendment. Thank you, Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 11, Oscar Alpha.
Moved by Nygaard, second by Lederman. Amendment 11-0A, discussion on the motion. Hearing none, further discussion on the amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The amendment carries. Thank you. Senate Bill 11 is amended. Further discussion on Senate Bill 11 as amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelson.
I'm concerned about the paucity of information and detail in the law. Having been a bank director, having been involved in many businesses, some rather hard put for working capital, I'm very troubled by the fact that the decision will be made by an invisible group. We'd have no idea who it'll be, someone in a governor's office. I'm very troubled by the fact that the ratio of contributed working capital and borrowed working capital varies. Well, over a five-year period, it may have to average 10 to 1. I'm troubled by the fact that we, while we say this is going to be all loans, it permits grants. I am troubled by the fact that while I understand the need for confidentiality in terms of internal business purposes, the fact that a government office, a part of a governor's office, may make loans or grants as approved by someone that the legislature does not or may not know from time to time, none of these things are set forth, nor do I see in this proposal any rules-making provision. I think this is a very dangerous practice. I wouldn't pretend that South Dakota is Illinois, but it could happen even here where we know people. I would move the bill to the 41st day.
Motion by Adelson. Is there a second? Is there a second? Hearing none, the move to the 41st day by Adelstein dies for lack of a second. And we're back to committee discussion. Senator Nygaard.
Could I ask Kurt Everson to come back to the stand?
Kurt? Mr. Everson?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
Mr. Everson, I realize you're not a banker, as you admitted on testimony, but I suggest that you know a lot of bankers. Do you, if this bill were to pass and we were to be able to take advantage of this $13 million, would that help motivate banks to get off dead center and start loaning some money on these kinds of projects?
Mr. Chairman.
About as direct as I can get.
I think, as I said in my testimony, I think it's a nice piece in the overall financing puzzle. What bankers tell me is one of the most difficult parts of starting a new business, financing a new business, is finding that source of operating capital, particularly in the early months, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, maybe the first year of operation. Because it is hard to secure a creditor's interest in an intangible like working capital. So would I think that this would encourage and move some projects forward that otherwise might not? I have to think that that's a possibility. Again, in response to the editorial nature of some of your question or comment, it has been a difficult time for lenders in the last few years since the financial Wall Street meltdown of 2008. There has been an particularly, as I said, the federal banking regulators have been have put an increased amount of scrutiny on business lending. In some cases, looking at a loan that's a perfectly performing loan, and because they're worried about the value of the collateral that's backing the loan maybe having been diminished by overall economic conditions, forcing banks to classify those loans and to reserve capital toward potential non-payment, even though the loan might be perfectly performing, the borrowers never missed a payment. That kind of stuff has gone on, hopefully, won't continue indefinitely. But, has it been tougher for small businesses and startups to find sources of capital? Yes, it has. Can this bill help? I would certainly hope so, Senator.
Thank you. And Senator Alcine, I will address only two of your concerns. I can't address them all. The first regarding the confidentiality, I think that the state's open meeting laws cover fairly well, as particularly in municipalities and counties and other agencies, that economic development discussions as well as contract negotiations are permitted under executive session and should many times need to be held in confidence. The second being grants versus loans, and a nod of the head will suffice. There is criteria with this program where the loans have to go out before the grant program is put into place, and the language here simply allows for that. As far as the rest of your concerns, I can't address those myself at this time. Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'd like to ask one of the more senior members of this testifying group to come forward, to have Bob Miller respond, if you would, Bob, to the concerns, which are good concerns brought forth by Senator Adelstein. If you could kind of respond to that for me.
Well, the one concern that had, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Bob Miller. The one concern that hasn't been addressed or hasn't been responded to, rather, was the oversight and supervision of this new committee. Now, if you look at the members of the committee, Senator, you have a varied team, which includes the state's very own securities commissioner, who serves as a member of this committee. That's Mike Youngberg. And he's the state securities commissioner, and I don't know how much better you can have on a committee like this. You have Steve Hayes, who's the chair, and he's a bank president, competes in the small bank, the community bank world very successfully. You have Tony Klein, who has served for many years on the Ready Board, and is a retired businessman. I mean, it's a committee like that, and myself, and I can tell you this, there's supervision. There will be supervision of this program. It's not a governor's office slush fund. I mean, it's got a real serious board that will be operating this fund. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, before
yes,
he leaves me,
certainly.
As long as this question has been raised, do you serve for a fixed term, or is it the pleasure of the governor?
It's the pleasure of the governor, Senator.
In other words, and I referred specifically to you and the members of the committee earlier in my concerns, this present committee appointed by this governor is clearly beyond reproach. But we don't know who the next governor may be, and we don't know how long and what pressures may come to cause either members of this committee to leave or be removed. I would be very comfortable if the board, just as the Ready Fund Board, was specified. If you wanted a bank president, the securities commissioner, retired businessman who served, if these were detailed, and I will probably, if this bill passes, which the committee... which I'll object to, but I will probably have an amendment much to that amount when it goes to the floor. This is really carte blanche to the sort of thing that I just hate. I keep seeing him, and certainly Senator Bogovich would love to have been able to appoint a committee that could grant up to $13 million at maybe 5 years from now, average 10 to 1 working capital, and as being a person who has struggled with working capital, not really struggled, I've managed to secure it, but been very, very careful with a weekly cash and credit report. But anyway, in a large company. So I really object to the paucity of this presentation. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I will not speak again. I'll only vote no.
Mr. Chairman, there is an answer to that question as well, but it can be best provided by Pat Costello.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Commissioner? I appreciate everybody's exercise coming up and back.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, just for a clarification, too, the committee was compiled through our office, and we invited people. They essentially offer advice to myself, to the governor's office of economic development in our decision-making process through our plan that we submitted to the Department of Treasury. Ultimately, it falls to my discretion as for what loans we make and interest rates and terms. We have to live within the guidelines. So, you know, that's not necessarily unlike other incentive programs that we administer. We make those decisions within the governor's office of economic development. Obviously, we have to live within the guidelines under this program, certainly the HUD guidelines. And then the other thing I would like to point out is that, as with all of our programs, the ultimate award of a loan or stuff will be published on our website, so it will be made public. It's the deliberation and, yeah, it's the deliberation part of it, you know, reviewing the company informations and discussions pieces that will remain confidential. The committee does not meet in open meetings, so if that's, I'm sure that probably will be another.
Senator?
This now makes a huge difference. I'm trying to, it does say the meetings and deliberations.
Mr. Chairman,
Ms. Senator.
Senator, because it's not an official board like the Ready Board or EDFA board, you know, there are no public meetings in that regard, but ultimately we will identify and publish, as we do all of our incentive programs, on our website, any awards that we make through this. So hopefully that might alleviate some of your concern.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further discussion regarding Senate Bill 11, Senator Johnston?
I'll be brief. The federal banking rules have caused the phenomena called kickstart.com, because there's local small businesses in South Dakota that can't borrow the money. This is a great bill for small business in South Dakota. It's in partnership with the bank, our local community banks. And I would hope that we would support this bill to give South Dakota small businesses a chance to be those great small businesses they become. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Hearing none, I will open it up for committee action. Senator Rave?
I would move do pass.
Second. Moved by Rave, second by Johnston, do pass on Senate Bill 11. Is there discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, only that I appreciate Senator Adelstein's concerns, and I think a lot of those have been addressed and actually brought up several questions in my mind, but I think we can visit about some of those after the hearing, possibly get some of those answered before we move to the floor. So I would ask the committee to support the bill to get it out onto the floor.
Thank you, Senator Rave. Senator Nygaard?
I just want to add my comments in that I share a lot of the concerns that a good senator from Rapid City has indicated. However, I think that this economy we're in today and with this new administration, we need to move forward and create the opportunity for South Dakota to continue to grow and create jobs, and I believe this is something that we need to get behind. It doesn't borrow us, as Senator Adelstein pointed out, from amending, and certainly even coming back in the future years to ride herd on this so that it is a properly administered fund. We have an opportunity. I think we have to grasp it and move forward.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Buell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also share many of the concerns that my friend from Rapid City expressed already. However, I think it's important to point out as well that this program does not, to my understanding, involve spending state funds. It is working with funds that have already been created through President Obama's Jobs Act, and with that, with matching with private capital, I think the way the program exists now, I think, is fine. I think down the road, when that 10-to-1 ratio might expire, that might merit some revision and some looking at that. But for now, I think that this is a good way to move forward.
Thank you, Senator Buell. Again, the motion to the committee is to pass on Senate Bill 11 as amended. Further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
Nay.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
6-1.
Senate Bill 11, as amended, is received a due pass recommendation from this committee. Will go to the floor, and I would recommend members of DOED buy Senator Adelstein a cup of coffee. And understood. Thank you. With that, we will move to Senate Bill 26, an act to revise certain requirements pertaining to earnest money paid in cooperation or co-brokerage real estate transactions. Proponents for Senate Bill 26. Yeah, I think she's making her way. Ms. Miller.
Good morning, Chairman Nelson and committee members. My name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of the Real Estate Commission. What Bill 26 does is clarifies who is required to hold earnest money paid on a cooperative and co-brokerage transaction in their trust account. The law currently states that only the listing broker is allowed to hold the earnest money. To conform with the practice of the industry, we would like to change this law to allow the buyer and the seller to agree on who should hold the earnest money, just as they are able to agree on any other provisions of the contract. So Senate Bill 26 allows for the alleviation of this requirement if agreed by the buyer and the seller. This was discussed at a commission meeting last year, and the industry members were supportive of it. So I ask for your support, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 26. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 26. Hearing none, is there opponent testimony for Senate Bill 26? Those in opposition to Senate Bill 26. Hearing none, I will close for testimony and open it up for committee questions, discussion, or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnston.
I move to pass.
Motion Johnston, second Rave, do pass on Senate Bill 26. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, I spoke with Commissioner Doug Nelson about this, and he's a realtor in Sioux Falls. He's one of the principals of HJN Real Estate. And this is really a very needed action because of giving a buyer the ability to put their money into a trust account either either at the seller or the buyer's trust company or trust agent. And it's really because of that trusted relationship that realtors and the Real Estate Commission would like to have this. And so I ask for your support on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Nygaard.
I just want to add to what our good senator from Sioux Falls just said, in that I think it even goes farther, and it allows for these funds by mutual agreement to be put into a third-party transactions where they go to a why am I struggling with this? A title company and closed in escrow, which is more and more becoming a good method. And as a practicing attorney of some 35-plus years, I have to say that it flows so much smoother when you get that unbiased third party involved. And this really creates that opportunity here in South Dakota. So I think once again it promotes efficiency in government and by making the statutes conform to what's going on right now.
Further discussions on the do pass motion for Senate Bill 26? Hearing none, then, the motion to the committee is due pass on Senate Bill 26. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 26 has received a due pass motion from this committee. Will be sent to the floor. Further action?
Move consent.
Second.
Motion Nygaard, second Johnson, to place this on the consent calendar. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Senate Bill 26, due pass to the consent calendar. Thank you. Senate Bill 27, an act to revise disciplinary action regarding remedies of the Cosmetology Commission. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 27, Ms. Boyd. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Nelson and committee members. My name is Kate Boyd, and I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Cosmetology Commission. Senate Bill 27 expands the remedies the Cosmetology Commission may take for disciplinary actions. Currently, the only avenues in law are to suspend or revoke a license, which isn't the appropriate action, disciplinary action in every case. Senate Bill 27 will give the Cosmetology Commission a variety of other remedies, such as censure or reprimand, administrative fines, and reexaminations. This will allow the Commission to discipline minor law violations with a minor disciplinary action, such as an administrative fine, and save the most severe disciplinary actions for the most severe violations. The language of Section 1 and 2 of the bill is very similar to other licensing boards and commissions overseen by the Department of Labor and Regulation. These boards and commissions have used their variety of disciplinary action options, such as fines and public reprimands, to ensure that the penalty fits the crime and that licensees aren't overly disciplined. Section 3 of the bill adds two new grounds for disciplinary actions. The first stems from a number of problems the Commission has incurred with people obtaining another's license without proper authorization. Just in the past year alone, the Commission has a couple of instances where a salon owner would renew or attempt to renew a license of another individual, only to come to find out from the individual licensee that the salon owner had no authority to do so. The second is anticipation of someone failing to pay an administrative fine when ordered to do so by the Commission. The Commission is seeking an avenue for further disciplinary action if a licensee fails to pay an administrative fine ordered by the Commission pursuant to Section 1 of this bill. These proposals were discussed at a number of public Commission meetings over the past year and received no opposition to the changes from the industry. The Commission believes these changes are necessary to continue to protect the public and hold licensees accountable for violations of the law. I ask for your favorable support of Senate Bill 27 and will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Is there further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 27? Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 27. Hearing none, is there opponent testimony to Senate Bill 27? Anyone in opposition to Senate Bill 27? Hearing none, I'll close the testimony, open up for committee questions. Senator Buell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Boyd? In your testimony, you mentioned the possibility of administrative fines. Can you give us an idea of what level those might be for? Is it up to $2,000? It's a permissive.
It's permissive. It's up to $2,000 for an individual and up to $5,000 for a business entity, a salon.
Okay. And can you also give me an idea of what the considerations would be when you're determining what sort of other avenues might be taken as outlined in the bill?
The severity of the violation as well as prior violations by the salon or the individual.
Thank you.
Since you're the only testifier, you may want to hang in just in case. Is there other questions of the committee? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Boyd.
Thank you.
Committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 27? Senator Rave?
I move do pass.
Second.
Motion Rave, second. Nygaard, do pass on Senate Bill 27. Discussion on the motion?
No, thanks.
Discussion from the committee? Hearing none. Motion to the committee is do pass on Senate Bill 27. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Lederman? Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 27, having received a unanimous vote of this committee, is sent to the floor with the do pass motion. Further action? Okay. Hearing none. We'll move on to Senate Bill 28, an act to revise provisions regarding the renewal process for certain third-party insurance administrators. Senate Bill 28, proponent testimony, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, Department of Labor and Regulation. This bill deals with third-party administrators. That's those entities that contract either with insurance companies or self-funded employers and provide services such as claims administration. Our current law, it's been on the books for a number of years, deals requires licensure and certification or registration of those entities. The issue comes at the annual renewal date. The current requirements in law require a report. It requires a payment of the fee, but it doesn't specify if the company, for instance, decides they don't want to do business in South Dakota and just doesn't send their renewals in. And under current law, we really don't have any mechanism for dealing with it other than our formal administrative action and seek revocation of the license. They don't really like that to have that on their record, and it's really not necessary if they really just didn't intend to do business in South Dakota anymore or not. So what this does is allow the process to work so that if they don't send in their renewals, the license simply lapses. And that's really what this bill is all about, is allowing a lapsation in that case if they decide not to renew. That's really the extent of my testimony. I'd be glad to stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Additional testimony, further testimony, a proponent testimony for Senate Bill 28. Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 28. Is there opponent testimony to Senate Bill 28? Those in opposition to Senate Bill 28? Hearing none, I will ask the committee if they have questions for Mr. Moses. Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Moses, does this create a new fee each time they file a renewal at the end of the year then?
No, sir, not a new fee. There's an existing one of $250 annual registration.
Okay, so that was required, pardon me, follow. That the $250 was the requirement that went with the, quote, report.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't change any. This is just now a renewal, so that if they don't renew, clearly you have the statutory authority to suspend the license.
No, not suspend it. Just be lapsed.
It lapsed license.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions for Mr. Moses regarding Senate Bill 28? Thank you, Mr. Moses. There's no further questions of the committee. Committee discussion. Senate Bill 28. Or action. Senate Bill 28.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
Move to pass.
Second.
Motion by Adelstein, second by Buell, do pass on Senate Bill 28. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of do pass on Senate Bill 28 will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Unanimous decision. Senate Bill 28 is hereby passed by this committee.
Moves. Consent.
Second.
Move consent by Adelstein, second by Buell. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Senate Bill 28 is hereby put on the consent calendar. This concludes our agenda for the day. I appreciate the committee's work this morning. We managed to get through our calendar. I will remind us that we have six bills already, and we will calendar all six of those bills currently assigned to this committee for Tuesday. We do have, in addition to that, five appointments that we will have to review, and I will schedule those at the convenience of the appointees through over the next couple of weeks. So we won't have any of those immediately. With that, any other discussion or action to come before the committee?
Move.
Motion by Nygaard.
Second.
Second by Rave for adjournment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. We are adjourned.